Long Talk Radio.
Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you for another day and another Bible study. We thank you, Lord, for your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Lord, for this is the day that you have made. We will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we have an attitude of gratitude because we realize you have not brought us this far to leave us.
Amen.
And Father God, we do thank you that you're blessing us even right now. We thank you, Lord, for all those that are on the call now. We thank you, Lord, for every family representative, oh God. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you open up our ears and eyes of our understanding. Holy Spirit, have your way. Reveal yourself to us, hallelujah. Open up God's word to us, hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100 holy, 1,000 holy, increase and blessings on the seed sown tonight. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, a harvest again. We thank you, Lord, for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, Lord God, we beat your satanic cords, you're under our feet. We say, get thee behind us, Satan, we curse you from the roof and command you to be bound in Jesus' name. Father God, bless your name. We praise your name. We magnify your name. We honor your name. We exalt your name. We extol your name. For you get the praise. You get the honor and the glory. And we bless your name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Tonight, we will continue with the study on the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible often refers to us as trees. And in John 15, we are depicted as fruit trees. To bear fruit. Hallelujah. It's important for us to understand that the character of Christ is what we should be displaying.
Amen.
And that fruit of the Holy Spirit be manifested in our lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So without further ado, let's see, we're going to get back into the study of the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We dealt with love and joy last week. And we are,
yes.
Yeah.
The title for today's message is called Peace Fruit. Again, the title for today's message is called Peace Fruit. Right now, we're in the middle of a series that we're doing on the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, and today we're covering the fruit of peace. Now, if you've been with us, one of the things we've been discussing is the difference between the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit and the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Over the last couple weeks prior to this, we covered the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, And in that, we discussed that those were meant for the building up or edification of the body of Christ. The nine fruits of the Holy Spirit are meant for the building up of the person. In other words, the person and Christ within that person. The reason why we talk about these subjects kind of paralleled is because they go hand in hand with each other. One of the things I taught of in our previous series on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit is that if you want to grow in those gifts, first of all, there's nothing you can do to earn them. It tells us clearly that the Holy Spirit gives those gifts to each as he deems, in other words, as he wills. But there are things you can do to place yourselves to where you can qualify for them. One of the things that the Holy Spirit spoke to me directly years and years ago is that because when I was seeking him about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because it tells us in the Word, you have not because you ask not, I was spending some time one day in fellowship with him, and I was asking him about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to understand them better, and I also was desiring to operate them, not for me, but so that I could be greater use for him. So that as I was doing that, one of the things he showed me is he took me to the book of Galatians and showed me the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. And for me, he showed me that there was nothing I could do to earn those gifts, but that if I would focus on growing in Christ's character, which is illustrated by those nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, that I would position myself to be able to qualify for them. Now, whether you desire to grow in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit or not, one of the things I will tell you is that once you committed your life to being a believer in Christ, these fruits of the Holy Spirit are supposed to shine from you. In other words, as you wherever you go, whether you're at home behind closed doors, whether you go to the mall, whether you go to work, whether you go out to the restaurant or the church, wherever you're at, when you're out and about, whether you're with family or friends or by yourself, it does not matter, these fruits are always supposed to be arrayed or displayed on you. You know, one of the things the Word tells us is that we're to judge a tree by its fruit. When people see you walking down the street, when they see you in the mall, wherever they see you out in public, when they see you, they should be able to recognize by looking at you that you have fruit hanging off of you. And the fruit that they should see off you is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's your witness to the world that you're a follower of Christ. And when they see you, and they should see something different on you than they see on the world, that it attracts them to you, that they want to know what that is. I remember years ago as an example, and I've talked about this before, I remember one time I went through a drive-thru, and when I did, the young lady who was there, this was a drive-thru we'd sometimes frequent regularly at the time, and when we did, the young lady came over and she took my money and started talking to me, and she asked me, she said, "Hey, do you go to such and such church?" And I said, "Yes, I sure do." She goes, "I saw you there. I saw you the other day." And I said, "You did?" And she goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, great. How'd you like it?" She goes, "Man, I liked it a lot. It meant so much to me. It spoke to me." She goes, "Whenever I would see you, because you come here pretty, you know, somewhat often." I was going to say pretty often. I probably did go there pretty often. Anyway, she said, when you come here, I've always noticed there's something different about you. You and your family, there's always something different about you. And I could tell, you have God, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I've got God." And she goes, I could tell when I saw you at the church, I knew what it was. Well, what if I'd have been a jerk? What if the fruit that I displayed was jerk fruit or mean fruit, you know, or rude fruit? What if I'd have displayed that? That she went to church and saw me at that, she wouldn't have wanted to connect that. She might have not even gone to church. Mm-hmm. However, someone took the time to invite her to church. They stepped out to disciple, and they said, "Hey, would you like to go to church with me?" And when she did, she happened to see the guy that goes through her drive-thru, and when she saw him, she recognized that he had God in him. Why? Because the fruit that he was displaying. So let's go right into the scripture, and let's go right into where it talks about the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with us to Galatians. We're going to turn to chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but if not, we'll put it up on the screen as well. Let's read. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law." Now, we covered the fruit of love and joy already. Today, we're covering the fruit of peace. So one of the things we want to talk about right away is, what is peace? Well, peace is when your mind is fixed on God and you're rooted in him. And through being fixed on him, peace floods your inner being. You know, one of the scriptures we've covered in the past is in 1 Peter 5:7, I believe it is, where it talks about casting your cares upon the Lord. You know, anytime you're operating in worry or anxiety or heavy concern over something, the Bible tells us that we're to cast our cares upon the Lord. The act of 1 Peter 5:7 of casting your cares upon the Lord doesn't mean that you humbly bring your cares to him. That's not what that means. That means you're to aggressively grab them and literally throw them on him as hard as you can, because you're separating yourself from them. You're not going to hurt Jesus. He can catch your cares. What you're doing is you're saying, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm done with this. I will no longer allow this to operate in my life. And you get it, and you throw it on him as hard as you can. You are literally casting your cares. It'd be like if you were in the ocean and you were casting a sea, casting a net in the sea. You don't just drop it. You got to fling it far from you. Well, in this case, you're casting your cares from you. You're throwing them on him. As we do that and we focus on God, his peace will come inside us and will seal the issues within our lives. The next scripture I want to read to you to show what peace is we're going to go right to the book of Philippians, and we're going to go to chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 6, and we're going to go through there, and I'm going to illustrate to you exactly what peace is. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's read. So Philippians 4, I'm going to start with verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, worry for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. Now, as we talk about this, one of the things it says, don't be anxious about anything, and in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you weren't with us for the series we did on 9 different types of prayer that are found in the Bible, I invite you to go back. We covered all different types of prayer in there, and we showed you practical examples of how to do it. One of the prayers we talked about was the prayer of supplication. We also showed you about the prayer of thanksgiving. In this, one of the things he's doing is he's giving you instruction, and he's saying that if you are worried for nothing, in other words, 1 Peter 5:7, cast cares on the Lord, worry for nothing, but in everything, give prayer of supplication and thanksgiving to the Lord, the peace of God will come in you and will surpass all understanding. Meaning no matter what's going on in your intellect or around you, it'll surpass all that. The peace that surpasses all understanding, meaning it's something the world can't understand. Only a believer can experience this true peace. In fact, one of the things that tells us is that if you're not a believer, you can never know peace. That doesn't mean that at times you might not be peaceful, or you might not be calm or relaxed, or what you equate to peace. But to know real peace, the Bible explains to us that to know real peace, you can never know real peace until you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and as you grow in his character. That's knowing real peace, is having Jesus within your life. You know, sometimes you see that Christian bumper sticker that says, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. And what it says, no Jesus is an N-O. No Jesus, N-O, no peace. But no Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace. Anyways, so no Jesus, no peace. So now it's talking about that peace that transcends all understanding will come on when you're in anxious for nothing and you're before him with everything, with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Then it says it will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. So the peace that's on you will guard your heart and your mind, okay, through Jesus Christ. Now let's go down. We're going to continue reading. We're going to go down verses 8 through 9. So Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Let's read. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So what it does is verses 6 through 9 gives us simple and practical instructions. It tells us how to remain in peace in God. It tells you that if you are worried over nothing, and you're nothing's anxious over nothing, you cast those cares on the Lord, and in everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, you make your request known to God, meaning you present your request to God, you have not because you asked not, present your request to God, and then the God of peace, God's peace that surpasses all understanding or transcends all understanding will come upon you. And as that peace comes upon you, it'll guard your hearts and it'll guard your mind in Christ Jesus. It then tells you what to do after that. It tells you what to focus on. Remember I said early on that if you focus on God and you're rooted on God, you'll be at peace no matter your situation. It then tells you what to do in verses 8 through 9. It tells you the things that you're to focus on. Guys, what we're doing today is we're showing you how to grow in the gift, or I shouldn't say gift, but the fruit of peace. We're showing you how to grow this fruit within your life. One of the things we've said is that these gifts sometimes are, I keep calling them gifts, but that to me they are gifts, but I see them as a gift from the Lord is what I should say. These fruits can sometimes take years to cultivate or grow within your life. Now, that doesn't mean that, oh, great, you know, I want peace in my life, I need it badly, and now Neil just said it's going to take years. That's not what I said. What I said was, to cultivate these fruits, meaning to bring them to maturity, can take years to develop within your life. But that doesn't mean that you won't see evidence of the fruit the first moment you start practicing them and studying them and focusing on them. As you focus on them and study them, they'll start to grow in your life and become evident right away. And you'll be surprised. Sometimes when you plant a seed and just a little shoot comes out of the ground, that doesn't mean you're ready to harvest fruit off of that tree. But for you, that's such a contrast or stark difference from where you've been, that might feel like you reached heaven on earth because it's so much peace compared to what you've been wallowing in or what you've been walking in within your daily life. Guys, when we plant these fruits, the seeds of these fruits within our heart, and we do that by receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, as found in Romans 10, 9 and 10, by believing in your heart and confessing your mouth that Jesus is Lord, his character begins to grow in us. And as we study the fruits, we understand the fruits that we're to be displaying, but we also understand the areas that we're to be growing. That's what we're doing. We're giving you application through teaching that you can apply within your life and start to grow and see real change in you and around others. And if you want to witness to the world, very few are called to a pulpit ministry. And what I mean a pulpit ministry, very few are called to the five offices of the church, and very few are called to where they will step up into some type of a speaking position, whether if it's from a pulpit, as an evangelist, as a teacher, as a pastor, an apostle, prophet, something. Very few people will be called to that. However, most people have their loudest witness through their lifestyles, even if you're one of those five offices. Before anyone wants to hear from you, most people will watch what you're living like. And when they see these fruits on you, they'll open their ears to what you have to say. Guys, I hope you enjoyed today's teaching. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. In addition to that, we invite you to connect with us on our social media. You can find us on our YouTube channel, which we invite you to subscribe to and share with your friends. In addition, you can also find us on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Guys, as always, we want to invite you to submit your questions to us through our contact page at our website at neilreyes.com. If there's subjects that you need clarification on or that you want teaching on, send them to us. We'll be before the Lord, and as we're led to, we'll turn around, and as we stand in prayer before the Lord, as we're led, we'll teach on those subjects. Guys, we want to remind you, as always, that Jesus the Lord, and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Hallelujah. Any questions, Claire?
Amen.
What I thought about one of the last statements that he made caused me to think about a cliche I used to hear. People will remember what you, they may not remember what you say, but they'll remember what you did.
Mm-hmm.
They'll hear what you say, but they will remember what you say. No, what you do will speak louder than what you say. Because they'll watch you. And you can say something, but if it's not lining up with your actions, they quickly call you a hypocrite. But they will remember more of what you do versus what you say.
Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
I also think it's important to know that growing this Christ-like character doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
So that means being patient with yourself, but at the same time, you're purposefully planting these seeds. And as you take those baby steps, outside people who are watching you will see a difference. And it makes them thirsty for what you have. And one day they're going to ask you questions. And as you grow, you glow. And you're more qualified to tell them what has happened to you and the transformation that can happen because you walk through it and you can share it with someone else.
Yeah, and you can't be hard on yourself either.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
May I interject?
Help yourself, man.
Oh, I just want to share, you're absolutely correct. And you know, because you see an apple tree, you know, when the first apples start appearing, they're not fully developed. They may be little buds, and then they become small apples, and then maybe they're green or whatever. If they're not supposed to be green, but they're green because they're young, you know, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, he implants these seeds of all of that in you. But it grows through time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the fairy tale where you plant a seed today,
yeah.
Tomorrow you got this big
stalk.
Whatever's going on up in the sky.
Beanstalk.
Jack of the Beanstalk.
Yeah.
It's a process. So, glory to God. It's important to understand that. And as you
mm-hmm.
get closer to the Lord, you'll be able to develop that fruit, because the Word of God and closer to God, it's nourishment to you.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, thank you so much, Pastor Peter. How much time do we have left?
You may 17, 18 minutes. Oh, two more minutes. You may mention before. About Tavon planting a lemon tree.
Right.
And it took, I don't know if lemons may be on it now, but God knows for a long time.
I think it was 2 years before lemon showed up.
Right, you just have to know that it's a lemon tree because God knows there was no fruit hanging on it. It takes a while for a fruit tree to produce a fruit on it.
Mm-hmm. I would like to also say that Satan doesn't want to let you go. And he may come back and tell you, oh, you're not no Christian. You're not changing. But you have to be confident in knowing that the process takes time and have words to fight back, because he'll discourage you if you're not rooted and grounded as you begin to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll start doubting yourself or thinking, well, maybe Satan is right. I don't see any fruit either. But in your heart and mind and soul, you know. A difference, a change has begun.
Mhm. And he only doing his job to make us think that the Word of God and that's why we have to really have to stay in the Word even the more. And then a lot of times the situations in life will make you run back to the Word. Because sometimes after you even gave your life to the Lord, and if you had a problem with your temper or being quick with your hands to lay hands on somebody in the wrong way, oh my goodness. I think the things that we were saved from, a lot of times that's what the enemy will put in front of us. And you're Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me with that. And putting it under the blood. Staying in the Word.
Sure.
So that situation will be conquered. So that, no, God, I've submitted that to you. I've submitted that temper to you. I've submitted that part of my personality to you. He's not going to change the personality, but he's still going to sweeten your words, your tongue.
Yeah,
you know, another way of answering people and just season. You want to season your words and all.
That's right, because you desire the character of Christ.
Yeah.
And you know it's a daily walking, and sometimes you're going to slip and fall and make mistakes, but you'd be so hurt that you want to run back to him quickly and say, Lord, please, please, please help me with this, help me with this. And you're more watchful. You watch as well as pray. You're not so open to it again.
Time up, Pastor. Thank you for your sharing. Pastor.
Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called patience fruit. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called patience fruit. Right now, we're in the middle of our two-week series on the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. And today, we're covering patience fruit. Now, as we talk about patience, I'm going to jump right into it, and I'm going to share one of the most common phrases or terms, I would say, maybe statements is a better word. I'm going to share with you one of the most common statements that has been shared among churches when studying this subject. I remember when I was first, I'm talking a little baby born-again Christian. And I say baby born-again Christian, I wasn't young. I think I was around 20 or something, 19, 20, somewhere around there. But anyways, when I first got saved, I remember it didn't take me long to be in a church service and hear a pastor say, don't pray for patience. And I remember going to my spiritual mentor, my spiritual mother, and talking to her, and I remember her telling me, don't pray for patience. You know, there's a common statement within the body of Christ or within churches where they tell you, don't ask God for patience. But yet it tells us in the Word that you have not because you ask not. But most people will tell you, don't ask for patience because the moment you do, you're going to start going through some hard things that require patience. Here's what I will tell you. For years, I followed that philosophy. And for years, anytime I came across patience, I stayed away from it. I will tell you that that was one of the mistakes I did early on in my relationship with the Lord, and praise God, he saved me from that. Not only did he give me salvation and life, he also saved me from the false belief of not studying patience. In fact, I will tell you that I heard Gloria Copeland say many times that the power twins of faith are faith and patience combined together. I will tell you that not only is patience something that's necessary for our Christian walks for as believers in Christ, but it is also something that is labeled by Christ as a fruit of the Spirit. Now, as we study the fruits of the Spirit, one of the things we want to remember is that the fruits of the Spirit, these are fruits that as you mature in your relationship with Christ, these are fruits that you should be able to display as a believer. In other words, these are a mark of your maturity within Christ. And these are something that sometimes take years to cultivate. It doesn't mean you won't see changes right away. If you start studying patience today, it doesn't mean it'll take years before you see the benefits of that. You'll see benefits on it right away. But this is something that with these fruits, we continue to perfect over time. And we continue to grow and grow in them. And these fruits, as they're cultivated and mature within our lives, as they grow within our lives, they are our witnessing tool to the world. Because the world will always see what kind of fruit you have hanging off you. They'll want to see whether if you have hypocrite fruit, or whether if you have liar fruit, or whether if you have evil fruit, or bad fruit, or judgmental fruit, or whatever. But when they see the fruit of Christ, when they see the fruit of the Spirit, what they will recognize is actually Christ's character on you. And even though they may not be able to put those two together, that's what they're seeing on you, is they're seeing something different about you than what they see when they look at the world. And what they see different about you is the fruit of the Spirit. I want to take you right into our foundational scripture. This is out of the book of Galatians chapter 5. We're going to study verses 22 through 23. This is where it lists the nine fruits of the Spirit. Let's read. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, one of the things you might say as I read that right now is, well, where was patience? You said we're studying patience for today. I did, and we are. In this particular verse out of the New King James Version, patience is actually translated as long-suffering. Oh, that sounds even worse. Around. But long-suffering is translated as patience. That's what it is. That's what long-suffering is. So you can say long-suffering or patience, okay? So patience is a fruit of the Spirit that we cultivate. You know, I remember a couple years back or a few years back, I was before the Lord, and as I was, we were talking about some different things. And he was showing me, reflecting back on that statement that I heard early on, and let me say something that, you know, the pastor that I heard that from, and it was actually pastors, I heard more than one person say it, I turn around and, you know, my spiritual mother in the faith, you know, her and I have talked about stuff. These are people that meant good things and meant well, and they weren't trying to limit or stunt my growth. They were just telling me based on what their experiences were or what they'd heard. But as we grow in the Word and we study God's Word for ourselves and we cultivate our relationship with Him and allow Him to speak to us, He'll speak to us. And sometimes He may tell you things He doesn't tell others. Not because His Word changes. It says in His Word He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But because sometimes, based on how well you're listening, he may speak to you. Now, that being said, I'm not saying I'm listening better than what the other people were. That's not what I'm saying. But as I was before the Lord, he told me that where most people get it wrong when they pray for patience is that usually they're praying for patience out of a spirit of pride. In other words, Lord, give me patience, but with a little bit of pride behind that, that they believe they've already got it. What I will tell you is that the Lord, you know, some people say, oh, God's going to test me in that. You know, it tells us in the Word, let no one say that you've been tested of God. However, God will allow you to endure tribulations or trials as a perfecting of your faith, as a working of your faith, as a working of the perfecting of your faith. But as he does that, one of the things he tells us is that you will never encounter a temptation. You will never encounter a trial or a tribulation that he has not already provided you an answer or way out of. All you need to do is stick to the Word and follow it and find out what you need to do to get free of that situation. So many times when people go through bad situations, they dig themselves in a bigger hole by using negative words. Sometimes they're in a rush and they're in a hurry and they want the answer right now. They're not seeking the right answer. They're wanting the answer right now. Sometimes when people are seeking a spouse, you know, and you have singles and they're seeking a spouse, they're in a hurry or race for tomorrow. They're not turning around. In other words, they're trying to rush into tomorrow, but they don't realize that if they rush into a relationship tomorrow, that relationship can lead to forever. And I don't know about you, but I've been married for a while, and I'm going to tell you it makes a huge difference that for you to be married to the right person. You know, marriage is meant to be forever, and forever is a long time. And praise God, that's not a long time like in the sense of, oh, man, that's so long. No. When you're married to the right person, being married to the right person makes a huge difference because you want to be with them every day. I remember a couple of years ago the Lord was speaking to me about patience, and he said, son, do you know what patience is? Now, anytime the Lord's asked me a question like that, I've learned to get quiet real quick because no matter how much or how little even I may know about that subject, I know he's getting ready to drop a knowledge bomb on me, so to speak, where he's going to show me much more than I knew before. So when he asked me that, I said, Lord, not like I know you're about to show me. What is patience to you, Lord? He said, patience to me. This is how the Lord sees patience. He said, patience is the act of you aggressively resting in me while I bring the answers to your prayer about. I'm going to say that again because every time I share that with people, that's a profound statement. What the Lord told me patience is to him is patience is the act of you aggressively resting in him while he brings about the answer to what you've already prayed for. Man, that's powerful right there. The act of aggressively waiting in Christ. As we aggressively wait in Christ, that doesn't mean it's just waiting. That doesn't mean we're just passing time. It doesn't mean that things we're just waiting. No. It says to aggressively rest in him. Aggressively resting in him means that there's an act of aggression on you, meaning that you're aggressive by staying rooted in his word. You're aggressive by staying before him in prayer. You're aggressive about staying before him with thanksgiving, being unrelenting on thanking him for that answer to your prayer. Knowing that because he's God and because he's good, he has already given you what you've asked for. Jesus told himself that anything we ask of the Father in his name shall not be denied to us. It's whether you have the aggressiveness of your faith to aggressively rest in him to receive what he's told you you can receive. I want to read you one more scripture before we close. This is actually going to be out of Psalms 40, and this is 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. What he is saying right here in this psalm is that he was in a bad spot in a bad way, that he was in a horrible pit in the miry clay. In other words, his feet were in the clay. He couldn't even move. It was like he was stuck there. But the Lord picked him up out of that situation and placed him on a rock. The rock foundation is the foundation of Jesus Christ within our lives and the foundation of his word within our lives. It also talks about how he turned around and established his steps. Sometimes some translations say that he's commissioned your footsteps. It then says that he's placed a new song on my mouth. In other words, he retrained what I was doing with my mouth. Instead of complaining and grumbling, he changed what I was doing with my mouth. And he didn't just fill it with words. He filled it with a song. When do people sing? They sing when they're happy. I'm not saying people don't ever sing when they're sad or lonely. But in this case, he put a song in my mouth because I was happy. I was singing him, and I was praising our God. And it said, many will see it and will fear and will trust in the Lord God. By fear doesn't mean that you'll put fear in them in a form of scared, but fear. In other words, people around you are always watching you, and they'll always watch how you handle your situations. Do you talk about Jesus all day long, but the moment you go through a hard thing, you start getting frantic and, you know, getting angry and using profanity and getting mad at people and yelling at people and getting grumpy? Or are you fixed and rooted on that rock, patient in him? You know, the strongest believers you'll meet are the ones you never know are going through anything at all. You may think, man, brother such and such or sister such and such, they don't ever go through anything. Pastor such and such or speaker such and such, they don't ever go through anything. They're always happy. How do I get that life? What you have to understand is these are people who have cultivated the fruits of the Spirit within their life, but have especially cultivated the fruit of patience or the patience fruit within their lives. It's that patience that keeps them still in the storm. It's that patience that allows them to aggressively rest in the Lord while he answers what they prayed for. Guys, that is what it means to have the fruit of patience grow within our lives. I want to invite you to begin to study these fruits. I'm so grateful that you've been with us while we're studying them, and I want you to go before the Lord. You know, it tells us in the Word that you have not because you ask not, but it also tells us in the book of Jeremiah that you shall seek me and you shall find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Start seeking the Lord with all of your heart, asking him to grow you in maturity within these gifts. Then as you grow in maturity in these gifts, you'll be surprised about the witness you have as a believer, but also the victory you live as a believer as well. Guys, I want to thank you for stopping by today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can check out all of our materials. All of our teachings are available to stream 24 hours a day at no cost on that site. In addition, we invite you to connect with us on social media. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and share that with your friends. You can also find us on Facebook, or you can find us on Twitter. Guys, if there are subjects you're wanting to learn about, we invite you to connect through our contact page on our website and send us a quick form. It's just a quick form you fill out. Tell us what you'd like to know about. We'll take those before the Lord and pray, and as we're led, we'll teach on those subjects. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Questions? Hallelujah. Comment?
That's a lot. That's a lot. Patience, I tell you, because you can be pretty cool and calm while things are cool and calm. But when something ticks you off, it's how you handle your balling over. I always said you never know the strength of a tea bag till you put it in water. And that's when you and everybody else finds out what you are made of. And I know I have problems with that, having patience. And I think Dominique was the one that told me. She said, "Ma, every time you're ready to be a clown act and getting everything together, you're in a fluster and everything," she said, "you're mean." And I knew what she meant, because I wanted everything perfect and exact. And when it's time for me to go do something, they know, get out of my way, because I'm focused, I'm grounded. But it was the way I was carrying it. And she said, "You're just mean when you're trying to get things together." Because I put a lot of pressure on myself, because I knew I wanted excellence, and any deterrent would make me not come across excellently, not only because of what they would think of me, but it's just the way I wanted to bring. I always wanted to give my best, bring my best. Didn't want to act haphazardly, and it made me act another way. So what I began to do as the years went on is to pray ahead of time. Because even though I was clowny, my outfit was my robe, because I was going to minister. And I would have gloves when I was a clown. I didn't wear them anymore. Hot flashing on my hands, okay? So, but I would be all ready and everything and couldn't find my gloves. It would wreck my tree. I would be so out of sort. Had everything else in place. Did not have my gloves. And it messed with how my performance in my head. How I would be perceived. People didn't know that whether the clown had on gloves or not, but I knew, because it was part of my uniform when I went forth to minister to the children. So I had to start looking at that and saying, Lord, I, like the speaker said, I didn't want to pray for patients because more challenging situations would come if I prayed for that. But I've learned over the years, no, ask God what you want, and he will give it to you.
Yes.
And if you need to go and coach class or have to go around the mountain again, he will do that. But it's a desire and it's a character trait that must be within his people.
All right. Yes, it is.
Amen.
Mm-mm-mm.
May I interject? Pastor Peter.
You there, Pastor.
Yeah. You know, I'm one of those people that said, you know, don't ask for patience. I've said that. I have to back up on that because that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. That we want of the Spirit evident in our lives. So, you know,
amen.
A better understanding of it, you know, and one of the words that he was using, aggressively deal with the patient. I'm going to play this once again. Is that all right with y'all?
Yes, that's fine.
Because I need to hear it again myself so that we can get the full understanding. I know it took a little bit longer than his normal 10 or 12 minutes, but I think it's very important because we need in dealing with ourselves and with others. It's often we show patience with others, but we beat ourselves up. We don't have patience with ourselves.
Yes.
So,
so true. So true.
How many minutes do we have, Pastor Peter?
37, 38, 39, 40, 41. One more.
Okay.
One more. And I believe that when God knows that we want to put our best foot forward and we love him and we want to exhibit his character, I believe when life situations are going to come up, not that he's bringing them, but life situations will come up and show us right where we need to come up in, or just what we need to come up in.
Yeah.
And sometimes something will happen. Oh goodness, grief! Right when you don't want it to, but hey, you want to grow in him, and you want to exhibit his character. Believe you me, and he knows that you want to put your best foot forward. Things will soon come up, show you where you short at.
So
that you can come up and be just like him.
Mm-hmm. He gives us a spiritual report card, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we know where our weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
And what's real significant is that what he said about this, the fruit of the Spirit is the person of Christ in us, in the person.
Praise God.
The gift of the Spirit is for the edification of the whole body of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is the person of Christ in us.
Yes, yes.
This is personal.
Yes.
How he throws this on other people, but this is for us.
Yes.
Lord,
yes, individually.
And he also said in our waiting to rest to pray and also sing. And when you sing, you're releasing, and it's comforting to you. And it calms you on the inside, your inner man. So singing has a lot of valid weight in calming you down and ministering to you as well.
Because
I remember telling Dami when there was a lot of chaos in the house, the children were acting up. I said, Dami, just sing in the house. Just go ahead and sing. Set the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. It makes a difference. It makes a difference.
Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called patience fruit. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called patience fruit. Right now, we're in the middle of our two-week series on the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. And today, we're covering patience fruit. Now, as we talk about patience, I'm going to jump right into it, and I'm going to share one of the most common phrases or terms, I would say, maybe statements is a better word. I'm going to share with you one of the most common statements that has been shared among churches when studying this subject. I remember when I was first, I'm talking a little baby born-again Christian, and I say baby born-again Christian, I wasn't young, I think I was around 20 or something, 19, 20, somewhere around there, but anyways, when I first got saved, I remember it didn't take me long to be in a church service and hear a pastor say, don't pray for patience. And I remember going to my spiritual mentor at the time, my spiritual mother, and talking to her, and I remember her telling me, don't pray for patience. You know, there's a common statement within the body of Christ or within churches where they tell you, don't ask God for patience. But yet it tells us in the word that you have not because you ask not. But most people will tell you, don't ask for patience because the moment you do, you're going to start going through some hard things that require patience. Here's what I will tell you. For years, I followed that philosophy. And for years, anytime I came across patience, I stayed away from it. I will tell you that that was one of the mistakes I did early on in my relationship with the Lord, and praise God, he saved me from that. Not only did he give me salvation and life, he also saved me from the false belief of not studying patience. In fact, I will tell you that I heard Gloria Copeland say many times that the power twins of faith are faith and patience combined together. I will tell you that not only is patience something that's necessary for our Christian walks for as believers in Christ, but it is also something that is labeled by Christ as a fruit of the Spirit. Now, as we study the fruits of the Spirit, one of the things we want to remember is that the fruits of the Spirit, these are fruits that as you mature in your relationship with Christ, these are fruits that you should be able to display as a believer. In other words, these are a mark of your maturity within Christ. And these are something that sometimes take years to cultivate. It doesn't mean you won't see changes right away. If you start studying patience today, it doesn't mean it'll take years before you see the benefits of that. You'll see benefits on it right away. But this is something that with these fruits, we continue to perfect over time. And we continue to grow and grow in them. And these fruits, as they're cultivated and mature within our lives, as they grow within our lives, they are our witnessing tool to the world. Because the world will always see what kind of fruit you have hanging off you. They'll want to see whether if you have hypocrite fruit, or whether if you have liar fruit, or whether if you have evil fruit, or bad fruit, or judgmental fruit, or whatever. But when they see the fruit of Christ, when they see the fruit of the Spirit, what they will recognize is actually Christ's character on you. And even though they may not be able to put those two together, that's what they're seeing on you, is they're seeing something different about you than what they see when they look at the world. And what they see different about you is the fruit of the Spirit. I want to take you right into our foundational scripture. This is out of the book of Galatians chapter 5. We're going to study verses 22 through 23. This is where it lists the nine fruits of the Spirit. Let's read. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, one of the things you might say as I read that right now is, well, where was patience? You said we're studying patience for today. I did, and we are. In this particular verse out of the New King James Version, patience is actually translated as long-suffering. Oh, that sounds even worse. I'm just joking around. But long-suffering is translated as patience. That's what it is. That's what long-suffering is. So you can say long-suffering or patience, okay? So patience is a fruit of the Spirit that we cultivate. You know, I remember a couple years back or a few years back, I was before the Lord, and as I was, we were talking about some different things. And he was showing me, reflecting back on that statement that I heard early on, and let me say something that, you know, the pastor that I heard that from, and it was actually pastors, I heard more than one person say it. I turn around and, you know, my spiritual mother in the faith, you know, her and I have talked about stuff. These are people that meant good things and meant well, and they weren't trying to limit or stunt my growth. They were just telling me based on what their experiences were or what they'd heard. But as we grow in the Word and we study God's Word for ourselves and we cultivate our relationship with Him and allow Him to speak to us, He'll speak to us. And sometimes He may tell you things He doesn't tell others. Not because His Word changes. It says in His Word He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But because sometimes based on how well you're listening, He may speak to you. Now, that being said, I'm not saying I'm listening better than what the other people were. That's not what I'm saying. But as I was before the Lord, He told me that where most people get it wrong when they pray for patience, is that usually they're praying for patience out of a spirit of pride. In other words, Lord, give me patience, but with a little bit of pride behind that, that they believe they've already got it. What I will tell you is that the Lord, you know, some people say, oh, God's going to test me in that. You know, it tells us in the Word, let no one say that you've been tested of God. However, God will allow you to endure tribulations or trials as a perfecting of your faith, as a working of your faith, as a working of the perfecting of your faith. But as he does that, one of the things he tells us is that you will never encounter a temptation. You will never encounter a trial or a tribulation that he has not already provided you an answer or way out of. All you need to do is stick to the Word and follow it and find out what you need to do to get free of that situation. So many times when people go through bad situations, they dig themselves in a bigger hole by using negative words. Sometimes they're in a rush and they're in a hurry and they want the answer right now. They're not seeking the right answer. They're wanting the answer right now. Sometimes when people are seeking a spouse, you know, and you have singles and they're seeking a spouse, they're in a hurry or race for tomorrow. They're not turning around. In other words, they're trying to rush into tomorrow, but they don't realize that if they rush into a relationship tomorrow, that relationship can lead to forever. And I don't know about you, but I've been married for a while, and I'm going to tell you it makes a huge difference that for you to be married to the right person. You know, marriage is meant to be forever, and forever is a long time. And praise God, that's not a long time like in the sense of, oh, man, that's so long. No. When you're married to the right person, being married to the right person makes a huge difference because you want to be with them every day. I remember a couple of years ago the Lord was speaking to me about patience, and he said, son, do you know what patience is? Now, anytime the Lord's asked me a question like that, I've learned to get quiet real quick because no matter how much or how little even I may know about that subject, I know he's getting ready to drop a knowledge bomb on me, so to speak, where he's going to show me much more than I knew before. So when he asked me that, I said, Lord, not like I know you're about to show me. What is patience to you, Lord? He said, patience to me, this is how the Lord sees patience. He said, patience is the act of you aggressively resting in me while I bring the answers to your prayer about. I'm going to say that again because that way, every time I share that with people, that's a profound statement. What the Lord told me patience is to him is patience is the act of you aggressively resting in him while he brings about the answer to what you've already prayed for. Man, that's powerful right there. The act of aggressively waiting in Christ. As we aggressively wait in Christ, that doesn't mean it's just waiting. That doesn't mean we're just passing time. It doesn't mean that things we're just waiting. No. It says to aggressively rest in him. Aggressively resting in him means that there's an act of aggression on you, meaning that you're aggressive by staying rooted in his word. You're aggressive by staying before him in prayer. You're aggressive about staying before him with thanksgiving, being unrelenting on thanking him for that answer to your prayer, knowing that because he's God and because he's good, he's already given you what you've asked for. Jesus told himself that anything we ask of the Father in his name shall not be denied to us. It's whether you have the aggressiveness of your faith to aggressively rest in him to receive what he's told you you can receive. I want to read you one more scripture before we close. This is actually going to be out of Psalms 40, and this is 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it, and fear, and will trust in the Lord. What he is saying right here in this psalm is that he was in a bad spot in a bad way, that he was in a horrible pit, in the miry clay. In other words, his feet were in the clay. He couldn't even move. It was like he was stuck there. But the Lord picked him up out of that situation and placed him on a rock. The rock foundation is the foundation of Jesus Christ within our lives and the foundation of his word within our lives. It also talks about how he turned around and established his steps. Sometimes some translations say that he's commissioned your footsteps. It then says that he's placed a new song on my mouth. In other words, he retrained what I was doing with my mouth. Instead of complaining and grumbling, he changed what I was doing with my mouth. And he didn't just fill it with words, he filled it with a song. When do people sing? they sing when they're happy. I'm not saying people don't ever sing when they're sad or lonely, but in this case, he put a song in my mouth because I was happy. I was singing him, and I was praising our God. And it said, many will see it and will fear and will trust in the Lord God. By fear doesn't mean that you'll put fear in them in a form of scared, but fear. In other words, people around you are always watching you, and they'll always watch how you handle your situations. Or do you talk about Jesus all day long, but the moment you go through a hard thing, you start getting frantic and, you know, getting angry and using profanity and getting mad at people and yelling at people and getting grumpy? Or are you fixed and rooted on that rock, patient in him? You know, the strongest believers you'll meet are the ones you never know are going through anything at all. You may think, man, brother such and such or sister such and such, they don't ever go through anything. Pastor such and such or speaker such and such, they don't ever go through anything. They're always happy. How do I get that life? What you have to understand is these are people who have cultivated the fruits of the Spirit within their life, but have especially cultivated the fruit of patience or the patience fruit within their lives. It's that patience that keeps them still in the storm. It's that patience that allows them to aggressively rest in the Lord while he answers what they prayed for. Guys, that is what it means to have the fruit of patience grow within our lives. I want to invite you to begin to study these fruits. I'm so grateful that you've been with us while we're studying them, and I want you to go before the Lord. You know, it tells us in the Word that you have not because you ask not, but it also tells us in the book of Jeremiah that you shall seek me and you shall find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Start seeking the Lord with all of your heart, asking him to grow you in maturity within these gifts. Then as you grow in maturity in these gifts, you'll be surprised about the witness you have as a believer, but also the victory you live as a believer as well. Guys, I want to thank you for stopping by today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can check out all of our materials. All of our teachings are available to stream 24 hours a day at no cost on that site. In addition, we invite you to connect with us on social media. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and share that with your friends. You can also find us on Facebook, or you can find us on Twitter. Guys, if there are subjects you're wanting to learn about, we invite you to connect through our contact page on our website and send us a quick form. It's just a quick form you fill out. Tell us what you'd like to know about. We'll take those before the Lord and pray, and as we're led, we'll teach on those subjects. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is the Lord, and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a...
Power off.
Hallelujah.
Mercy.
Yes, you know, I would want to share this. I see so much clearer now. Mm-hmm. Because when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, he plants the seed, which will grow up into a tree which bears fruit. And God has said that, you know, life happens to all of us. The good, the bad, and the ugly goes around in circles. It's not that tribulation has come because you asked for patience. It's that tribulation comes anyway, in life. Job says a man is born of a woman of a few days and full of trouble. So, but what it's saying that this tribulation, the strong winds or the storms that hit that tree, the rain and the sun, all those things work together to mature that fruit, to strengthen that fruit so it grows, matures, gets bigger and more prominent as that tree lives. And yeah. I can understand it a little bit. See, the seed is there. The seed for patience, for love, joy, peace, long suffering, all of that is there already. Life hits us so that we can have that seed mature and for that seed to grow into the tree that bears fruit. And John 15 says, much fruit. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finished. Thank you, Pastor Pete, for letting me interject right there.
Boy, Kiwi.
And I think you said, Pastor, things happen so other things can happen. It's necessary. I used to have a saying, you don't deserve to be on a mountaintop until you've been down the valley. It takes a valley experience to build you up so you can go to the mountaintop, because that's growth. You can see clearly now from the mountaintop what you could not see down in the valley. And even David has said, you have to encourage yourself. And the word of God is right there to encourage us. And as we trust in the Lord daily, even though we're afraid or are unsure, because we love him and know what he has already said, it helps us take that next shaky step, knowing that he's going to be on the other side and he's right there for us. And it encourages us to take the next one. And that's growth. Even if it's a baby step, it's growth. Fighting away negative ideas and feelings, that's growth. Where you would have fallen down with it or indulged in it, you push it aside and get rid of it. You evict it immediately. Don't despise little tiny growth spurts, I guess you would say, little tiny steps. Because when you look back and see where, how far you've come, you knew what it took to get you there. It encourages you that much more to keep on going.
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And as I may interject, as Neil had said, many preachers, and I was one of them, said, don't pray for patience, because tribulation was.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we're going to have that in life. That's a consequence of being alive. All those that have never gone through anything, you know, bad or ugly in their life, you know, I want them to say amen. I don't hear nothing. But in all those things, it's like allowing us to mature in all the fruit of the Spirit. And I noticed one thing, too, because at times I would wonder what version he was reading, but he did say the New King James Version that he was reading out of.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. But anyway, hallelujah. You have a few more minutes?
Yes. It's only
8 o'clock.
You want to do another one?
Yes,
I'm
going to do another one.
We have time. It's only
8.
Yes, go ahead, Kiwi.
No, I'm saying, go ahead, Pastor. Do another one.
Okay. All right. So we ready. Here's a go ahead now.
Today's message that we're speaking about is called kindness fruit. Again, today's topic we're speaking about is called kindness fruit. Right now we're studying the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, and while we're covering the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, we're covering today's topic is going to be the fruit of kindness. One of the things we've been talking about is that the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit are the fruits that as a mature believer you're to grow to display. You know, one of the examples we've been using is that if you were walking down your block, let's say tomorrow morning you decided to get up and go for a walk with your dog or just go for a walk around your neighborhood, if you're walking out and you see a fruit tree in the front of your neighbor's yard, you should be able to identify what kind of tree that is by the fruit it's displaying. Well, one of the things that tells us in the Word is that we're to judge a tree by its fruit. So the world is constantly looking at us as believers to see what kind of fruit we're displaying. We're displaying Christian fruit, are we displaying believer fruit, are we displaying, you know, secular fruit, are we displaying hypocrite fruit? What kind of fruit are we displaying? In other words, when they look at you and they size you up by the fruit that's displayed upon you, what kind of fruit are they seeing? Are they seeing joy fruit on you? Are they seeing kindness fruit on you, love fruit, peace fruit, patience fruit? What kind of fruit do they see on you? Well, as believers, the way we display our fruit, obviously we don't walk around with fruit hanging off us, but the way we display our fruit is how we respond to situations or circumstances. You know, one of the things I talked about in our previous study on patience was that some of the strongest believers you will encounter are the ones that you can't tell ever go through anything. Why? Because they're not emotionally led. They're not led by their emotions or their feelings. In other words, those aren't believers that necessarily have reached a spot in their life where nothing ever happens to them. Those are believers that when things do happen to around them, you can't tell because they've cultivated these fruits of the Spirit that we're talking about, especially the fruit of patience. They've cultivated the fruit of patience to where they're aggressively resting in the Lord, waiting for Him to fulfill or to answer what they prayed about. Well, today we're talking about the fruit of kindness. I'm going to tell you that the fruit of kindness, what this fruit is, the act of operating in this fruit is when you grow to a point where you're able to place others or the needs of others before yourself. I will also tell you that one of the greatest acts of this fruit is when you operate in mercy towards others, or when you operate where in a point where you share mercy towards others or show mercy towards others. I will tell you that out of all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, they're all extremely important, but this fruit right here has one of the greatest witnessing tools you can use to the world. Now, one of the things we talked about previously with the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit were that those gifts that operate usually don't operate one at a time. They're usually several gifts operating to support each other. I'm going to tell you the nine fruits of the Spirit that we're studying now are much the same. Usually when you're operating in one of these fruits or displaying one of these fruits, you usually have several fruits that are operating at the same time. These aren't fruits you just put on and take off. These are fruits that you put on and you wear them like a garment that never comes off. In other words, you know, you wear them. In fact, one of the things we've studied before is the armor of God that's found in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. And it talks about the piece of the armor you place on you. And I've explained you're never to take that armor off. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is the same thing. It's a different type of garment that you put on that you never take off. This witnessing tool right here of kindness has one of the single most powerful acts to reach the world. And here's why. When you show kindness towards others, and let me say, there are many people in this world who are nice, whether believer or non-believer, doesn't matter. There are a lot of nice people within this world. However, to show kindness, that's a fruit of the Spirit. I'm not saying that people can't show kindness if they're not a believer. Obviously, they can. But true kindness operates through love, and it's a fruit of the Spirit. And as a believer, when we show kindness towards others, it shows them mercy. It shows them love. And it opens the door for repentance within their life. You know, if they've never made Jesus their Lord and Savior, it opens the door because they want to know what Jesus is. Otherwise, if they already know the Lord, but maybe they're slipping in their walk a little bit, it shows them kindness and it shows that, hey, even though the world tells you that they don't approve of you, even though the world wants to tell you how bad you are, kindness says Jesus accepts you. Kindness says Jesus shows mercy towards you. Kindness says that no matter what you've done wrong, there's always love saved up for you in the Jesus tank. And what I mean by the Jesus tank is Jesus always shows kindness towards people. You know, Jesus was never rude towards people. He was never mean towards people. There were times he operated in boldness when he was giving instruction, but Jesus always operated in love and always showed kindness. As believers, when people look at us and they see the fruit that you're wearing or the clothing as a believer that you're wearing, one of the fruits that they should always see on you is the fruit of kindness. I want to take you to our foundation scripture, and I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures real quick to support this. The first one's found in Galatians 5. This is going to be out of verses 22 through 23. So Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Let's read. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering," which we talked about as patience, "kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law." So when we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, we're going through the fruits of the Spirit. We're about halfway through now. And one of its fruits that we're covering today is the fruit of kindness. I want to take you to another scripture, and we're going to start to show you how kindness looks when it operates. This is going to be out of Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. And if you don't have your Bible, you're welcome to read with us on the screen. Let's read. Colossians 3, 12 through 13. Therefore, as the elect, that can also be translated as chosen, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Now, in that verse, if you go on to read the next verse after that, one of the things that actually talks about, I read you verse 12, but if you go on to read verse 13, one of the things it starts talking about is about forgiving others. And it's talking about that you're to forgive others as Christ forgave you. When we operate in kindness, we're putting on other things like mercy. We're putting on things like humility. That means being humble. And you're also putting on meekness, which also means humble, humility, meekness. And you're also putting on long-suffering. That's patience. When we're patient with others, being patient with others is an act of operating in kindness with them. Because sometimes when people are trying to communicate with us and they're having a hard time doing so or they don't know how to do so, when we get flustered and frustrated with them, that's not showing kindness. Kindness is when we're opening the door to them with patience and we're putting on meekness, we're putting on humility or humbleness, we're putting on mercies, and we're operating in kindness. I want to go ahead and read you our next scripture. This is going to be out of Proverbs 15, verse 1. So Proverbs 15, 1. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I'm going to read that once more. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. When we're kind towards others with our words, when they respond to us, how we respond back usually dictates how that conversation is going to go. Whether we're talking with our spouse, our parents, whether we're talking with our children, our friends, coworkers, boss, whoever. When they say something to us, when we turn around and operate with a soft answer, it turns away wrath. In fact, oftentimes if people, you know, if you're struggling in your marriage per se, and it seems like all you guys are doing is you're bickering with each other and arguing with each other, start working on practicing a kind or soft answer. In other words, when they answer to you, even if it's something that you would be, I guess, right about responding back at them in a harsh way, don't do that. Operate in love. Operate in kindness where you turn around and you give them a soft answer. As you give them that soft answer, that'll turn away wrath. And at the same time, if you don't do that, you're going to spur harshness and bitterness and anger coming right back at you. You will always reap what you sow. If you sow a soft answer, you'll turn away wrath and receive soft answers back. That may not mean that the next words out of their mouth are soft right to you, but if you continue to turn away harsh words with soft answers, you'll get soft answers in return. I want to read one more thing to you. This is something we've learned in the body of Christ, and I want to do some correction around this so you understand what kindness looks like. I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 25, and we're going to go verses 21 through 22. So Proverbs 25, verse 21 through 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Now I want to address that, because in the church that's been taught in some different ways. You know, one of the things we've taught on is that when you're kind to others, you'll heap hot coals on their head. What that means is that you don't go show kindness towards someone so that you can cause harm to them. However, when you show kindness towards others, heaping a hot coal on their head means that it leaves them with a lasting memory that you were kind towards them. It leaves them with a lasting memory of the kindness you showed to them. Even if they walk away from you angry, and even if they still talk ill of you to others, you know, if they talk bad about you to others, those acts of kindness you show towards them, those heat hot coals on their head, because what they do is those are lasting memories that they'll remember that you were kind to them, even though they may not have been towards you because they were your enemy. One of the things I also want to tell you is that this actually goes deeper. And if we understand the context around this, when this was written and what it was talking about, in these particular times, one of the things you have to understand is that these people lived out in desert habitats. And when they lived out in desert habitats, if you've ever lived in the desert, which I have and I know it's like, the desert can get pretty cold at night. You know, during the day, it's not uncommon for the desert to be very hot. But I remember when I lived in the desert out in New Mexico, there were times it would be out, you know, in the 90s or 100 during the day. But at night, it would swing all the way down to the 60s. That's a 40-degree swing because it cooled down so much in the desert. What I will tell you is that one of the things they used to do to keep themselves warm is that what they would do is they would wrap turbans around their head. And as they would protect their head with the turban, they would take hot coals out of the fire and place them in that turban and then continually wrapping it so that those hot coals would radiate heat and it would keep them warm through the night. You know, it's been told that 80%, 60 to 80% of your body's temperature is released through your head. That's why they tell you when you're out about and it's cold to have a hat on or something of some sort so you can keep your body temperature in. When you show kindness towards others, and what this verse is talking about is that if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And by doing so, you will heap hot coals on their head. What they're talking about is that you're showing the ultimate act of kindness when you place others' needs before yourself, even when they're your enemy. You know, if we can show love and kindness towards our enemies, then we can easily show it towards those who are not our enemies and who are around us as friends or maybe acquaintances. Guys, this is what it means to operate and be kind. Kindness is the act, the fruit of kindness that you display is when you learn to place others' needs before your own and when you learn to show mercy towards others no matter their situation. You're not there to judge them on who they are or what they've done. You're simply there to show kindness towards them and allow love to operate through you to let them know that there's a God and a Lord who loves them more than they've ever known, that he's accepting of them. And what I mean accepting of them is this. Let's clarify this because there's a lot of gray lines in the church right now and people doing some false teachings. Jesus accepts others. That does not mean he approves of all their behaviors, but it does mean he has an unrelenting love to know them and to bring them into his presence and to have personal relationship with them by coming into their life as Lord and Savior if they'll invite him. Guys, I hope you enjoyed today's study on kindness. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com where you can check out all of our teaching resources. They're available to stream at no charge 24 hours a day. In addition to that, we also invite you to swing by our social media where you can connect with us. We have our YouTube channel, which we invite you to subscribe and share with your friends. In addition to that, we also have our Facebook page and we're on Twitter. Guys, if there's a subject you'd like to be taught on or need some clarification on, go to our website and go to the contact page. Shoot us a quick form, and we will take those before the Lord and pray about them as we're led. We'll teach on those subjects. Guys, we want to remind you, as always, that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Clarity, questions, comments?
I think kindness is such a jewel to give to someone else. It's like you're hungry. All you have is a slice of bread, and you choose to give it to someone else because you rather they be filled, and you know God will take care of you. Mm-hmm. And they look in your eyes, and their eyes tell you, thank you so much. And you let them see the love and the kindness that you're giving to them. Yes, I may have a need, but I choose to push my need down and let you know I see your need and it's more important to me right now. Mm-hmm. And that gives them, lets them feel the mercy, the grace, the love, the knowing that they are valuable because you chose to do something special for them when you didn't have to.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it's not something that you see in the world either, a lot.
No, right, you don't.
Referring somebody else.
You don't. And kindness can show up in different ways.
Go ahead,
Boo.
This is Sister Pam. I have, for quite a few years, because my mom used to always speak about, be kind. She often say, be kind. And not just to me and my sisters, but just in general. For me, kindness would be, I actually love kindness. I don't like when people say, hey, girl, be nice, or you know what, I am just being nice. Nice is, for me, nice is being cordial. nicest surface. Nice is if you are in your vehicle and you see someone, say, if it was, I guess, like a singer, I guess like walking across the street and you had the opportunity to, I guess, let them close or not. So, I mean, so then for me, being nice would just say, okay, you can slow down your car and then let them walk in front of you. But then kindness is when you pull over to actually help them with their bags across the street. It takes a level of to me, kindness is substance. Kindness is big and deep. Kindness is not just showing someone, but then it can also be doing it with them or then doing it for them. Kindness will not only display your heart, but then often it will display your integrity too.
Mm-hmm.
If that kind of makes sense.
It's like kindness is love going deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not surface.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The surface, you know, something is, you know, it shows where your heart is, where your true heart is.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. May I interject?
Yes, yeah.
Kindness is goes further. It's like Proverbs 24:21-22, or was that Psalms?
There was Proverbs 25:21-23.
He talked about doing good to your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
That's kindness. Good gracious. If they need water, give them water. If they need something to eat, that's kindness personified. That's Christ-like. You know, because it's easy to do something good for somebody who's done good for you. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
easy. You know, to do good to those who pat you on the back and who love you and say good things about you. It is really in you
mm-hmm.
to do good to them that despite mm-hmm. you, say all manner of evil against you.
And just like Neil Reyes was saying, preferring somebody above you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Preferring someone above, I mean, you know, putting yourself on the back burner. Preferring somebody above
yeah.
you. You know, when you showing kindness to some, an act towards someone else, and you, it's almost...
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a sacrificial love. I mean, you're putting yourself out there, or not putting yourself out there, but putting somebody else above you, in front of you.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Exactly. It is like being selfless.
Yeah.
And it's just like being Okay.
When you're kind to your enemy, you're actually acting like whatever was wrong never happened.
Mm.
You're choosing, mm. you're choosing to show them love.
Come on now.
Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm-mm.
That takes God.
Are you right?
Listen, impatient. I'm telling you, it's impatience. Impatience. And patience, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Because when someone has wronged you and you prefer to put it on the back burner, you prefer to, Lord, I forgive them, and put that out, put that in the back, and, you know, they put it out the way to give them what they need at that moment. And you have to exhibit the love of Christ, exhibiting the love of Christ.
And that scripture was Proverbs 15:1.
A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger.
Oh, yes.
And when someone has wronged you, you have the opportunity. That's an opportunity to not to do a soft word.
Give that.
And the way you answer them can stir up anger. But if you answer them in a way that they're not expecting, and it's the love of Christ, you don't even give way for a grievous word to even come back at you. And that is when Christ is, that's when Christ is exhibited and Christ is exalted. God knows Christ got to be in the picture. The opportunity to smack somebody into next week. But you want Christ to be exhibited. You want Christ to be exalted. You know, you want Christ to be shown, and you, the way you're going to come off is going to draw that person to Him, or send that person further.
Bottom line, to God be the glory.
So it's funny because I had Google kindness, and this is what came up, and I'll screenshot it. This is what came up. It says. Excuse me. It says, kind is love and love is kind. Kindness is extending grace. Go ahead, Google. Because it says kindness, because it says kindness is extending grace. We are humans and therefore we make mistakes. We can be kind in our response to ourselves, but also with others when they make mistakes. This means thinking before you speak, forgiving before you seek revenge, and thinking about long-term relationships instead of short-term pride. You cannot have pride and live off of kindness. You have to choose. If we could all remember that none of us are perfect, we would be a lot kinder to each other, offer grace, and be kind.
You know, there is a marriage between grace and mercy and kindness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Grace is getting what you don't deserve.
Praise God.
It's not getting what you do deserve.
Thank you, Lord.
Kindness. Both of those is Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Christ allows to be kind one to another.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God for Neil Ray's teaching on today. Today, I think you'll probably end with the teaching of the fruit of the Spirit. But we thank God for the teaching on today. Anyone else? Any questions or comments? Any other questions or comments? How are you? Pastor Peaches, anything?
Well, Pastor, would you say that, you know how you said somebody's not ready yet, they need to go back in the oven, they're not done yet?
Right.
Would you say that about, about a saint of God that you know is saved but just not, I guess, exhibiting all of them characters?
That's right. They're not done yet. So that's why patience has to take place. We have to aggressively, what did Neil say? Be in peace.
Okay.
And allow God to operate and bring the solution to that situation. So everybody is working on their own tree. Of the Spirit is going to be in different time spans as far as that tree is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got some trees that may take 2 years for the fruit to show.
Mm-hmm.
6 months. Mm-hmm. It may take 3 years or 5 years. But we must need be patient.
Yes, yes, yes.
And long suffering.
Yes, even with ourselves.
With others.
Yep, and even with ourselves. Yep.
This deals with the person of Christ in the person.
Yes, right.
In the body of Christ. This is in the person. The gifts of the Spirit, as Neil says, is for the entire body of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is dealing with the person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That Christ is in.
Yeah.
And we have to be long-suffering and patient with others. And sometimes that's hard. That's hard.
Oh, yeah.
Where we are, if we're going to judge others sometimes where we are, and that's not right. Because we don't judge others. We judge ourselves.
Love them.
And everybody is not at the same. All of us were not born on the same day in the same year. You understand what I'm saying? So all of us, development is going to be. And so then, we have to have patience with that five-year-old that doesn't understand if you put your hand on a hot stove, you're going to get burned. We have to tell them, don't do it. And they only need to do it one time, and they realize, you're right, Mommy. You're right, Daddy. Hallelujah. But anyway, we thank God for the fruits of the Spirit, and you notice that in the King James Version says the fruits of the Spirit, which is singular. In the New King James Version, it says the fruits of the Spirit. Well, I'm gonna have the fruit, whether it's fruit or fruits. We want love, joy. We want all of that in a bag of chips. So we thank God for that. Are all minds clear?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So next week we'll pick up. I think it's going to be goodness. I'm not sure how it is in the New King James Version, but we're going to deal with the last. I think it's four next week. If God will allow us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you for Bible study. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Lord, for every person on this call. We thank you, Lord, for meeting their need in abundance, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for blessing their entire families, oh God,
yes,
in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We praise and do magnify your name for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do in all of our lives. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, in Jesus' name. Jude 1, verse 24 and 25. So let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our Savior and our Redeemer, in Jesus' name. Psalms 19:14. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. Have a blessed rest of y'all evening. Remember this. God loves you. We love you too. Nothing you can do about it. The Lord, everybody.
Amen.
Good night.
Night, y'all.
Good night. Don't let the bed bite. Oh, Lord.
I'm playing. Aw.
It's been years since I heard that one.
Hallelujah.
Night, y'all.
Go back to our
See you in the morning.
Few hours.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Yeah. Thank you.